With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Welcome back to this week's episode of Calcio e Cappuccino. We have a packed schedule to cover this week, a bit of the Derby della Capitale with Aaron in Roma. We have the provisional and set World Cup rosters that are a bit intriguing. We've got Mourinho's 15 out of 16 game of Clue that we're going to be playing a bit. Napoli may be 10 points clear by the end of this week, and they're on a 10-game winning streak. Before we get into it, I just want to mention that this is the last week to hit the UEFA 22 promo for that free month. You want to get in while you can, or hit the 50% off promo with All Year, A-L-L-Y-E-A-R. I am back, Christine Kupo, with Dre Cordero, Aaron West, and Poppy Miller. How's everybody feeling?
I feel like if we had a theme song, like this would be the time to hit it. I don't like just like a 1990s kind of.
Wait, yeah. Wouldn't it just be like the P plus the blue screen ditty that gets stuck in my head that I forget to turn off?
It would have to be like the Serie A anthems, which like sound like 1990s ballads. You know, the ones that ring out around like Serie A. Speaking of those ballads, Aaron was at the Derby d'Italia. Excuse me, the Derby della Capitale. This past weekend, we had both the Derby d'Italia and the Derby della Capitale. And I'm just extremely jealous of the fact that this guy continues to live his best life. I'm happy for you. Daniele De Rossi was a really compelling interview. How was that?
He was amazing, actually. He was super, super humble, super nice guy, very, very intelligent, very insightful, very open. I really, really enjoyed that interview. It's one of the ones I've enjoyed the most. He just was a guy that seems to know exactly like who he is and be very, very grounded. It's an interesting thing for someone as famous as him to both understand like how famous they are, but not be like really moved by it. He seems just very much a real person. And like, he understands his importance to the footballing community, especially the Italian footballing community, but like, he's a real person and he's not really like phased by that kind of. It was a really fun interview. He was just like he seemed like a friend, like when we first like met. It was great.
There's something about that I knew he would be just extremely interesting, because when you have the career that he's had and, you know, the affiliation to the Italian national team, to everything that he's meant to Roma, and you decide late in your career, you know what, I just want to go play at the Bombonera. Like, I want to play at Boca. I want to live that experience and see, like, Argentine football is just different. It really just is. If you watch what the fans are like in that league, especially for a team like Boca or River, like, it looks more like religious fanaticism than it does like a sporting event or an entertainment thing. So for someone like De Rossi at that stage in his career to say, you know what, I'm going over there, just to me just screams of somebody who's really interesting and thoughtful.
He was so moved by his time in Argentina. He really, really took it seriously. The passion of those fans, like we all know how serious it is, but like it you could tell it was an experience that meant a ton to him. He didn't spend a lot of time there, but in his time you could tell like he was super, super moved by the passion of those fans, the atmosphere. It taught him a lot, I think. But it was I was really interested to ask him about that. Like, that was one of the first things I thought of when they said Daniele De Rossi. Like, why would you go there? Why exactly would he want to go there? And he wanted to feel that. I think he's just a guy who really just loves football. Like, he loves it's one of those things. Not a lot of players are going to go get dressed up and go into La Curva and just try to experience that energy, not just as a player, but as a fan. And he's the type of dude that did that. And I think would probably do it again if it wasn't, if like someone wasn't going to stare into his soul and know exactly who he was.
Incredible. There's a lot of news going around with the World Cup teams being named. We don't have all of them, although they are like slowly trickling out. I don't know if you guys, if we could like dispense with the formalities and the welcomes and the hellos and just get right into this. Because what I'd like to talk about first and foremost is we've got Poppy Miller with us, who hosts our studio coverage for Serie A. And Poppy, I think you need to stand up and defend your people, because Fikayo Tomori not being included in the roster is, to me, an absolute atrocity. We can talk about some of the other World Cup teams. We can talk about what team the Italians, who won't be sort of cheering on their World Cup, their side of the World Cup, should be rooting for it. And there are some really interesting and maybe like less expected ones. But let's start with England, because you look at the crop of center backs that they have, and you can't, I don't know, Tomori doesn't just belong on that roster. He belongs in that starting 11.
Let me just start by saying I am not defending Gareth Southgate whatsoever here. When I came out, I mean, there was rumors that he wasn't going to be included, especially after how the last camp unfolded. I think a lot, you know, were hoping that we would see him, but it is despicable that he is not in this roster. Like you said, Dre, he shouldn't even not be in this roster, but he is also a contender to start in the World Cup. So that makes it even more shocking. And when you look at how Harry Maguire has played so far this season, for him to be considered still the starting centre-back, it just is absolutely crazy. There's only one player on this entire roster that Gareth Southgate has put out that doesn't play in the Premier League or in England. So I think I think that says a lot about the selections that he's made and the players that he's been watching closely. But at the same time, I think it's just absolutely awful that we're not seeing Tomori in this roster, and we're seeing, you know, Connor Cody, Harry Maguire, Eric Dyer. Eric Dyer hasn't even had a good time at Tottenham lately, so it just is, it's crazy.
Does anyone ever have a good time at Tottenham?
I mean, that's true. That's very true as well. Does anyone have a good time at Manchester United either? That's also one of the questions, although they've been doing well lately.
Maybe that's actually the common denominator in Southgate's selection, is like, are you suffering? Are you suffering on a diurnal basis in Premier League? Would you like to suffer further?
Harry Maguire hasn't had a good time, has he? I think he's only made like 3 starts or something crazy like that. So I'm not surprised not to see Tammy Abraham, when we know that he hasn't been in the best form. So I think it would have been more surprising if he was included. But I think to not see Tomori is just, it's really disappointing as an England fan, and especially to see the overall selections and almost the bias towards the Premier League, which we all know is the best league. But at the same time, it almost screams that there is other leagues and there's players in fantastic form like Tomori that we could have seen in there. So I'm massively disappointed, honestly. And I know a lot of other people. I was just reading a couple of articles this morning and opinions and listening to different radios and podcasts. And I think everybody has a very similar opinion. I've not seen one person have an opinion that he shouldn't have been included. So it's just a bit shocking, honestly, to see that.
It's heartbreaking for Tomori, because he truly did earn it. I mean, it's inexcusable, quite frankly. But for me, I think the omission of Tammy, it's understandable, but I think that more falls in my own personal bucket of just disappointed. I would have liked to have seen him getting the call up, but he's been spotty.
Can we tell one of the people who probably were overjoyed seeing Tomori's name not in that call-up list, which is the entire Milan management?
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's true. That's silver linings.
As soon as they saw that list, I'm sure like they were all like, oh my God, this is the greatest news we could have gotten.
they sent a fruit basket, like, I'm so sorry that you were omitted, and then popped the champagne quietly in the background.
I'm happy to not see Tomori when the U.S. play England at the World Cup in the group stage as well. So
yeah, I'm upset for him, but I'm not upset about it.
Yeah. I did hear
to make it easier, that's fine.
I did hear one really high profile voice, at least one, defend the decision not to include him. And the others, you know, less high profile that I've heard have echoed sort of the same sentiment. And it just sounds so absurd to me. Jamie Carragher, who is on the panel for our Champions League coverage on Paramount Plus, when asked about Tomori's exclusion on Twitter, said what the guy who looked atrocious, I'm paraphrasing, obviously, in both games against Chelsea. And if you're going to distill Tomori's time in Serie A to one game and 17 minutes against Chelsea, yeah, which admittedly were not, were so far removed from the best version of him, were actually quite poor. But to sort of draw a decision like a World Cup omission based on those two matches in the Champions League group stage just seems absolutely
egregious.
Ludicrous.
Yeah,
it's such a good point though, Dre, because I think that for a lot of England fans and for a lot of people watching that game in particular, yeah, that don't watch Milan week in, week out, that was an easy chalk up decision for them to make based on those two performances. And I think we like you said, we can all agree they weren't his best games. They also weren't the best games of a lot of players for Milan as well. It just so happened the mistakes fell on his shoulders. But at the same time, imagine if we had the same critical lens of Harry Maguire, for example, at Manchester United and some of the mistakes that he's made at the back. So I think it's very unfair that those were the matches that had a lot of English eyes on it, because it was obviously against an English opponent. But
yeah,
it's a real shame for those that watch him week in and week out and see how consistently good he has been for Milan.
So that's such a great shout, because if he has those games against Salzburg instead of Chelsea, then that argument goes out the window, right? Like, one, they're probably not watching the Milan-Salzburg game, and two, it's the fact that it was against Chelsea that made it so high profile. And yet, given that, I still think it's absurd to leave him out based on two games, even if it was against back-to-back games against Chelsea and Manchester City. I don't care. It's still sort of a really, I think, thoughtless analysis. Considering, as you mentioned, the quality or lack of at center back that England have. And I just want you to know, this whole defend your country thing was just a ruse to try and get you to badmouth some of the English players and potentially get you banned from your mother.
Don't get me wrong, Dre. It's still coming home, that's for sure. Just kidding.
I'm like, you know, we need to get another English person on here that will like ardently defend Southgate's decision, just so that they like we can watch the vein pop on their forehead. But
I will defend him about Tammy. I don't think Tammy deserved a call up at this moment in time. Had the World Cup happened last year, he would have had a much stronger argument. But I think there's a lot of other strikers that are in better form than Tammy is. So I wasn't surprised to see his name not in the squad, as much as I would have loved to see him there. I can understand that decision.
So Tammy was dropped by Mourinho this past weekend. Both Tammy Abraham this past week. I forget that it's been like 9 out of the last 10 days, or 9 of 10 days have Serie A games in them. But Tammy Abraham and Gallo Belotti were dropped by Mourinho in the match against Sassuolo. Tammy came off the bench and finally did score. And it's bizarre because he's created chances all season. He's missed more big chances than any player in Serie A. The only player that's had more big chances being, you know, clear-cut goal-scoring opportunities. And the only player that's had more big chances in Serie A than Tammy Abraham has been Victor Osimhen. Osimhen leads the league in scoring. The only player to have as many big chances as Tammy Abraham is Marco Arnautovic. And Arnautovic was leading Serie A in scoring and is still toward the top of the Capocannoniere standings. And Tammy, for whatever reason, was just missing chance after chance. It was good to see him get back on the score sheet, scored a really good header coming in off the bench. And if you do get benched by your manager and he does bring you on with a few minutes left to play, then the absolute best response you can have is what he had.
Score
a goal and a 7-game goal drought.
1,000%. I think for Tammy as well, as strikers, Mike Grella talks about it all the time, but strikers also need a bit of luck. And I think anyone that is watching Roma week in, week out, sees some of these chances that Tammy has missing, and they're actually harder to miss than to score. So I think even if you're not a Roma fan, you actually feel for him, because it must be so frustrating. And I wasn't surprised to see him starting on the bench this past weekend, but it's so good to see him, you know, getting on the score sheet, especially ahead of this World Cup break where he won't be playing and he will be obviously watching England from home. I think to get his confidence up so he's not in feeling down over such a long stretch. It was the best case scenario for him, even though it wasn't overall a great performance from the team.
I think about stuff like that, like, way too much, how little instances can change an entire career. One of the moments that like really, really was triggered that thought for me a long time ago was David Trezeguet's volley against Italy in the 2000 Euro final. And I thought about it. I was like, David Trezeguet won a World Cup in 98. He wasn't unknown, but he was not the David Trezeguet. And when he scored that volley, like he instantly vaulted into household status. He was David Trezeguet then. It's like, if he misses that volley, though, he's just another guy on France. France doesn't win the Euro final, probably. He maybe has a good career, but we don't remember him as David Trezeguet. And there's so many of those moments. But that's why football is beautiful to me, because like a blade of grass can impact an entire career. It's the most random sport of all time. It's probably why it's impossible to program as a video game, because the most random stuff happens in real life. So you have to code that. But yeah, I think about things like that. Like a little moment can change a striker's confidence completely. You stop overthinking things. Tammy's getting into very good areas. You can see that by the fact that he's missing a lot of big chances. All it takes is a little bit of confidence, a little bit of a breath before you get into the chance, and a goal in such a pivotal moment. And Mourinho, as much as we love to talk about him sometimes throwing players under the bus, he's also very good at motivating some players. Like some of them, it's sink or swim with that guy. Like you either respond very well to it or you die.
I want to talk about Mourinho-ing, but I do want to go on a little bit of a tangent, because you reminded me of the most recent example of that, little moments that can change everything for a player. And it was in Chelsea's most recent Champions League win, where Christian Pulisic has that like point blank miss on a game that a chance that could have put the game away for Chelsea. And imagine just sort of how different Pulisic's last, you know, year and a half or whatever it is, if he scores that goal instead of missing it. But that said, let's go back to City A stuff, because Jose Mourinho is, he's having a time. Like he mentions not just one, but two of his number nines, Tammy Abraham and Gallo Belotti, in favor of Eldor Shomurodov, who, if he's had a good game for Roma, I haven't seen it yet. He's not performed at the same level that he did in the one season he was in Serie A before he arrived at Roma, but he gets the call, he gets the start, you know, made a mistake or two in the first half. And on the back end of the game, a very cryptic message about being betrayed by one of the players, which I guess we can try and speculate on which player it was that he was talking about. But he told the said unnamed player that he should look for a new team in January, based on, you know, we think this one game and this one performance.
Yeah, I've actually been mulling over his lineup from this match, just curiously, wondering who it could have possibly have been. Is somebody something vibrating aggressively?
Yeah, I can hear it. I don't know whose it is, though. It's not from my end.
It was my phone ringing on silent.
That's gonna be.
We were all just trying to ignore it. Like, hey, someone's gonna get it. Right? You're probably gonna get it, right?
The phone buzzing is now my 16th player out of 15. That's it. Betrayal. No. So do we want to speculate as to who we think the?
I think a lot of the papers are speculating that it is Rick Karsdorp.
It has to be.
I think it's got to be Karsdorp. I don't know.
So he wouldn't name who the player was, which to me like makes me wonder what even was the point saying it.
That's so messy.
Wait, what is the point of putting that laundry out there?
That's the most unlike Mourinho thing that I think we've seen. The fact that he just didn't drop the name in. I think it was only a couple of months ago that he overheard one of his players doing a post-game interview, and then he felt the need to go into the media and say, "Oh, they just did an interview saying they had a good game. I totally disagree." So he goes out of
that was
way.
Abraham.
He's unafraid to name and shame. I don't know why he's being so coy right now.
I think it was very intentional, if I'm being honest, because if he wants everybody looking over their shoulder presently at this point in time, given, I don't know, the match that they played against Sassuolo, you want people to be a little bit shook, maybe. I don't know. I don't know the full dynamics of Mourinho's brain, although I'd love to crawl in his ear one day and just see what's happening, like what that hamster's doing in that wheel. But I think he's very intentional in what he says. When he omits things, it's very intentional. He wanted the effect that he got out of this quote. And I'm sure that the dressing room was probably all abuzz with, like, was it you? Is it you?
I'm not convinced that at this point it's not just sort of cathartic and therapeutic for him. Because the one thing that is consistent about Jose Mourinho, and he's one of the most successful managers of all time, nothing but admiration for everything that he's won. But the one big consistent thing, whether he wins or he loses, is that nothing is ever Mourinho's fault. So dropping points wasn't Mourinho's fault. The attention had to be on somebody else, on this unnamed player. We suspect Rick Karsdorp, who, by the way, is having a terrible month. He was left out of the World Cup squad for the Netherlands and is now reportedly going to be looking for a new team in January. He was at fault for the Sassuolo goal. He did have a few lapses in concentration. He did not have a very good game. I just failed to see what the benefit is of the cryptic dunking on him.
Here's a quick Rick Karsdorp point. When I did pre-match interviews in the tunnel before the Derby della Capitale, I interviewed Rick Karsdorp, and he had just done one with another network, and I asked him one question that was fairly similar to one that he had just answered, and he was like, "As I said before," and I was like, "Bro, you did not say that to our network, my boy." I know that you might not want to do these interviews, but that's not really how this works.
So Aaron is siding with Mourinho.
Aaron actually gave Rick the Malocchio in the tunnel, and that was why he performed so poorly against Sassuolo. This is what I've concluded.
That's all on him, honestly.
Do you know what is interesting about Jose, though, is he defends players in interesting times, too. You know, in his last pre-match conference, he said, "The only player that I can tell you is definitely starting." Is Ibanez, and he was the one that made a mistake in the game before. So I think it's always interesting. But then when you think back to the teams that Jose has been with over the time, there always seems to be one player that he doesn't get along with and has a lot of drama with in the locker room. I even think back to his time at Tottenham and him and Dele Alli. Dele was just completely like left from everything. You know, if you could see behind the scenes, I'm sure he was having to train by himself as well. So it's interesting dynamics. I feel like once you get on the wrong side of him, it's very hard to make your way back to the other side.
I think if we want to stay the course with some of the brighter spots for World Cup provisional or final roster announcements, we've got Weston McKennie and Sergiño Dest representing for the U.S. men's national team from Juve and Milan. I think that's – I'm like, let's not be so negative, guys.
Yeah.
We also need to strategize here in terms of those of us who typically root for Italy in their omission, what our backup squad is going to be. I think we might have a bit of a rivalry crop up, I think, in terms of Croatia. Serbia still yet to announce. They could have the highest concentration of Italian players. Perhaps Argentina is your flavor of this World Cup, or perhaps Poland.
I feel like Serbia could be a strong, like, dark horse team to pull for, because they have a really, really strong squad. They have a lot of fun players from Serie A, and I really think they're gonna do well this World Cup. Serbia is a great show, and the Italian Argentine affinity has always been very strong, so that's an easy backup for Italians. But I gotta say, Serbia is gonna be really fun to watch this World Cup.
So Aaron's gonna, I'll
pick Serbia for you guys if you're looking for a second team.
Dre had a compelling argument earlier in favor of Croatia, which I could be persuaded.
Always a very strong show.
So the two no-brainers are Argentina and Croatia, right? Argentina, for the reason that Aaron says, that there's that sort of connection between them. And then, you know, Argentina, the one team out of all of those we'll be talking about that has a legit chance to actually win the whole thing, if you're looking for that sort of thing, is Argentina. And yes, I know that you just won the Copa America, but we've seen like recent examples in recent years of teams doubling up on tournaments, whether it was Spain, maybe not so recent, it feels like it was only yesterday, but when they won the 2 Euros and the World Cup, we saw Chile, who had never won anything, win back-to-back Copa America titles in back-to-back years, both against Argentina, both on penalties. So I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that Argentina, having won the Copa America, could go and build on that, having like shed the ghosts of not winning anything since 1993 and play a little bit more loose and go on to win this thing. And they have a ton of Serie A players, the two Juventini, Di Maria and Paredes, Nico Gonzalez of Fiorentina, Lautaro Martinez of Inter, Paulo Dybala, we suspect he'll be healthy in time for the World Cup. He's in bubble wrap right now. It's bubble wrap season. And Joaquin Correa of Inter will also be on that roster. But Croatia...
We will talk bubble talk season, by the way. We're getting to that.
Oh, yeah.
Bubble wrap season, sorry.
It is Croatia is a really good one, not because of the volume, right? They only have four players on the roster that are playing in Serie A, but the quality of those four players. Croatia, Martin Erlich is maybe the one that's like a little bit more surprising, and I don't expect him to start. Erlich of Sassuolo is part of that roster. But that midfield of Brozovic, Pašalić, and maybe the one that will get less talk about, but it's just been sensational to watch this season, Nikola Vlasic of Torino. I expect all those players to get minutes. I expect Croatia to be fun and a good team to watch and a really good follow for those who don't want to go the glory hunting Argentina route.
And I think, yeah, I'm going Croatia. Poppy, I know you have England in there, but if you have to go with what's your dark horse Italian heavy squad you think you're riding?
Honestly, I was just about to say England have done themselves no favors in earning any Italian following, have they? Not that they would anyway, but they might have had a few if Tomori had been in there, just from a Serie A perspective. But I would say, honestly, the team that I'm most excited to see is Argentina. I want to see Di Maria obviously playing, and I just feel like the Messi magic and everything that's going into it, I feel like they have to be a favorite. But I'm with Dre's convinced me. Croatia, I'm excited as well for them. So obviously, apart from England, I think Croatia's the team.
Nothing to do with our boss being Croatian, who just absolutely loves Croatian football.
Shout out.
We're all going to have our Croatian tablecloth shirts underneath our regular clothing. Like, I was here all along.
I suspect they randomly put me and Ray Hudson on a Dinamo Zagreb call in the Champions League group stage. Not randomly, it was a good call, but it might have been one of those audience of one situations. The other team that you should keep an eye out for, Serbia. We don't know the roster yet, but Serbia could have 7 to 10 players from Serie A on their squad. One that we do know will have almost a starting 11 for those Serie A players is Poland. Poland have all three goalkeepers are Serie A goalkeepers, Tejczesny, Lukasz Podolski, and Dragowski. So basically their entire stable of goalkeepers plays in the Italian top flight. And then they do have some star players like Peter Zielinski, like Adek Milik, players who are playing at big clubs and can do big things for the Poles. It's not inconceivable if they line up a starting 11 that is absolutely dominated by Calcio players.
All right. So then I'm going Croatia, Poland. We'll see what happens. We'll see how it shakes out. But all in, it is very much big bubble wrap season. I have already elected in my hypothetical situation in which I am a Serie A player that I'm opting for food poisoning this week because, you want it to be resolvable, but like get you out of maybe like a match or two. This week has been breakneck. They've had 10 consecutive days of playing. I mean, I don't know, Aaron,
I'm insulting a referee in the tunnel. I'm telling you, I'm keeping my anthem jacket. I'm not even putting shin guards on. I'm gonna be in my full sweats. I probably won't even need to shower. I'll do the warm up just so I get like keep my fitness base high, like stay moving, do everything, like do some plyos, and then before the tunnel, like before we go out for the anthems, I'm calling a referee something that cannot be repeated on this podcast.
Just having to go at the fourth official
before. Yeah, absolutely, yeah. So I don't even get on the pitch. We don't have to go a man down. I just have to be quietly replaced.
Like, I like that
everybody's shuffling. All the reporters are like, wait. I thought Aaron was in the starting 11. What's going on? And then like they're all whispering, like trying to figure out what happened. They're like, oh my gosh, he's in.
So
what
is thoughtful. You're thoughtful.
Yeah, I want to be considerate. I want everyone to like. I'm just going to whisper something mildly insulting that I have to get sent off, but yeah.
Not like mom-worthy, like a headbutt kind of a scenario.
Absolutely
but, you know.
Not. We're probably not going to insult anyone's family members, but maybe like something they've, like their refereeing ability just enough that it would have to get me suspended. Yeah.
If I had to go that route, I would go the traditional Ronaldinho route, which is anytime he was hungover, it was gastroenteritis. Because no one's gonna question it. Don't even ask questions. What type of gastroenteritis? Just gastroenteritis. So you're out.
Love that.
So what's your sneaky out?
honestly, this just made me laugh because now I'm thinking this makes sense why Giroud took his shirt off when he was already on a yellow card. It's like, yeah.
he knew exactly what he was doing. And he gave the people what they wanted in the same in the same move. What a guy. A man of the people.
Take his shirt off quick enough. He was like, this goal probably is going to be disallowed, but let me get my shirt off as soon as I can before so I'm getting sent off. And then he's like, wait, me? I was already on a yellow? No.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
If you're in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace where each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. If you're in the market, use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
I'm almost on the other side of this. If I'm playing for a team that's, you know, that's not have players going to the World Cup, or a team that's in the lower half of the league, this is prime time to play these top teams. They don't want any part of that this weekend. They, like you said, are in their bubble wrap. This is the best time to play the
that's
top
a very
teams,
good point.
I think.
That's
so
a very good point.
Poppy's going for the January transfer window, whereby she plays so well for Cremonese that she's been promoted. Yeah,
okay, Poppy's looking at her goal bonuses. She's looking at the goal and assist bonuses on the contract.
I'm not saying that's how Forest beat Tottenham yesterday, because Harry Kane wanted no part of his ankles getting kicked, but that is exactly how we beat them.
I mean, that is honestly a fantastic shout, though, because like, imagine you're a player who's definitely not going to the World Cup. Your team is actually fighting for something. I'm like, my first challenge, I'm going in on one of these World Cup guys like pretty hard, like, hey, you know what it is.
Just to shake
you know
it up.
What it is.
You don't want to come near me for the rest of the game.
I don't have anywhere to be, buddy. You do.
So just a psychological analysis of us in this like Serie A team that we have here. Three out of four of us think that we're superstar players at the top of the table going into the World Cup. One is convinced she's sitting it out. Okay.
And I'm going in ready to kick some ankles this weekend.
Hey, that is not unlike how Poppy plays normally, though, so it actually tracks.
I'm just fitting my brand like I normally play. Too slow, so I'll just go for the ankles.
Listen, the thing I'll say about Poppy, though, is we were talking about this yesterday, and it's like she moves in slow motion, but so efficiently and fluidly, just dribbling around people, that I'm like, how is that actually, how is possible?
The slow motion isn't on purpose. That is just me at my fastest speed.
It's like watching Milinkovic-Savic go by people in midfield. It's like, how is he doing this? He's like barely moving.
Man, sticky feet, though. That ball retention, 10 out of 10.
Oh, this is too funny. Yeah, great week for Nottingham Forest, though. Let me just give them a shout out. I'm expecting another big result from them this weekend. They've got no one going to the World Cup.
Ah, it's all right. Maybe one year, someday.
Can I make an off-the-wall Serie A prediction really quickly?
Go ahead, Aaron. Hit it.
I think Vlahovic is going to score 5 goals at least this World Cup. I think he's going to have a very, very good World Cup, because I think he's going to actually get service.
I mean, that's all the man's been missing all along, right?
I think he's gonna be like so happy to play with people who like really understand him and want to get on the ball. He's just gonna go off.
It's gonna be 5 assists from Kostic.
They're just gonna stare directly into the camera and be like, Allegri, do you see
look,
how
look what happens.
Efficiently
look what happens when you play in the opposition's half once in a while and score some goals, get some assists.
Think about who he's got passing him the ball now. Like, he's got Milinkovic-Savic behind him. He's got Kostic. This is going to be great for him. He's going to have a great time.
Great times. No one having a better time right now than Napoli. 10 straight wins. They are 8 points clear at the time of recording. It could be double digits by the end of the week. It's not just good. It's probably as good as we've ever seen Napoli, at least in my lifetime covering Serie A. This is a Napoli team that looks destined to do big and special things, but hasn't done them yet. And I think it's got as much to do with other teams. Like, for example, 12 games into last season, they were on record points, but they were tied with Milan on record points, and neither team had lost. This year, Milan's not as good. Inter's not as good. Juve's not as good. And so it is sort of there for Napoli to open up this massive gap just before they get this break underway. However, when they come back from the World Cup / winter break, there's a 5-game stretch for Napoli that includes a game away to Inter, that includes a game against a very improved Juve, who are the best defense in Serie A this season, and a game against Roma in a 5-game stretch that could sort of, you know, make or break the trajectory of Napoli going into the midpoint of the actual season. So I'm not one of those people that says it's done and dusted and that this is Napoli's year, but it has been fun to see the swing from those that were arguing at the beginning of the year that, yeah, Napoli do this all the time. They start hot and they fizzle out, to now the ones who are saying it's over and done with. It's Napoli Scudetto, first time since Maradona was in shorts.
Yeah, I don't think there's any chance that this thing is done and dusted. I will guarantee you there's a lot of drama left in this season. There's too much going on. Things are too complicated almost certainly going to drop points somewhere. And that's when things start to get real fun, especially in Naples, because of how like intense their supporters are and how superstitious their supporters are and how much pressure that city puts on their team. Now we're going to see exactly how much pressure these guys can take. They look great when the sun is shining and everything is cool. But now it's going to get cold. It's going to get real ugly. Pitches are going to get nasty and people are going to have been getting injured. We've seen how they've done without Kvaratskhelia. We've seen how they've done without a couple key players, without Osimhen. And I'm not really necessarily worried about them like getting hit by a spate of injuries, but they're deep. Mm-hmm. I want to see how they handle this mentally. I think they can, but I don't think this will be like at the end of the season, they're 15 points clear. I think we're looking at a 2 to 5 point gap at the end of the season.
I think whoever wins, I think it will close. I think it would be absurd for them to maintain sort of like a double digit point lead through the end of the season. But I don't count out the possibility of them having an unblemished season. And I'm okay with being the crazy person that thinks they could actually do it. I think the depth, the quality, also this atypical timing and break, which usually is a period of time where Napoli may start to concede a bit, may serve them the best out of every squad in Serie A. I don't know. I'm very high on them this season. I think that, you know, maybe it's their diamond season that they don't crumble under the pressure and they actually come out on the other side. It would be a beautiful story, quite frankly. But I think I think they could do it.
It would mean that we had four different champions in four separate years, right? You would have had Juve, Inter, Milan, and Napoli, you know, if they do hold up. One non sort of serious Napoli thing before we get back to like the actual football is someone is out there playing real life Grand Theft Auto in the city of Naples. Because remember months ago, Spalletti had his Fiat Panda stolen. And some ultras put up a banner outside of the Stadio Maradona that said, if you resign, we'll give you back your Panda. It's been a wild ride for Spalletti, who like started the season arguing with fans outside of their, you know, training headquarters, and now has them top of the table, 8 points clear. But then since then, we've seen Kim Min-jae had a car stolen and Kvaratskhelia had a car stolen. So if you're in Naples, Naples, Florida, Naples, Italy, just lock your cars, you know, just to be safe. I'm not sure what's happening in this other building at the moment, but that seems like
it's the Napoli baptism. It's their welcome. Okay, you need to have at least one morning where you wake up and you're like, la mia macchina, dove, like, and just lose your mind. Okay,
hey,
like,
and not that I'm sponsored by Fiat, but if they want to send a free Fiat Honda my way, I'm happy with that. Because what is it with that car in particular that like footballers have such an affinity for? Arturo Vidal has one that he loves more than life itself. And Luciano Spalletti, who can drive virtually anything he wants to, apparently had one as well that was stolen months ago.
Listen, if Fiat are listening and they want to send Dre a vehicle, I support it entirely because I will happily steal it for him to recreate the experience.
Get in.
It's fine. Teamwork.
Anything else on Napoli?
I don't know. Pops, what do you think?
Honestly,
I feel like you've been awfully quiet for a team that's been barreling through this season thus far.
I'm honestly thinking of what else I can say about Napoli, because I'm trying to think of something that's almost something to bring them down, and I just can't. So I feel like there's only so much you can say. My biggest question was, how would they cope without Victor Osimhen, and how would they cope without Kvara? We've seen them without both now. That even when they don't play the best style of football, they don't play the greatest game, you still have the belief that they're going to get the results some way, somehow. They have so many contributors going forward. They have so many goal scorers. Whether Raspadori starts or comes in off the bench, he seems to make a difference. Simeone's making a case to start. Victor Osimhen wasn't even in the starting lineup when he got back from his injury, and now you can't take him out. So I just think they've got so much depth and balance. And what always stands out to me about Napoli is the creativity. You know, like we watch Inter this season, or we watch even Milan, and it seems like unless Rafael Leao or Theo Hernandez is going to make something happen, or Olivier Giroud is going to come in clutch, you're not always convinced where these goals are going to come from. And Napoli seem to be, for me, the team that have this magic spark, and they just play with such freedom. I'm watching and I'm thinking, like, how do you mark Kvara? He's all over the pitch. He's one side, he's the other side. I think that's such credit to Spalletti for just letting them play. And it's just so refreshing to watch. So honestly, I want to say something that stands out to me that's a concern. But honestly, at this point in the season, I don't have anything. And even with the World Cup break, I mean, they don't have a ton of players that are going, or if they are, the players that are going aren't expected to stay that long in the World Cup. So you've got to imagine a lot of them will be well rested by the new year as well. They don't like talking about the Scudetto in Napoli, but I am for them. I am feeling very optimistic.
So Napoli, I mean, I love the positivity around them right now. And the fact that Luciano Spalletti may finally be getting that Scudetto, two-time coach of the year winner. He was he had Roma close when Roma were competing with Juventus. They finished second, I think, 1 year under him, 1 year under Rudy Garcia. He won the most recent Manager of the Month honors, I believe, in Serie A. They're going to have a few players going to the World Cup. They've got Peter Zielinski for Poland. They've got Frank Anguita. Sam Anguita has been brilliant. Kim Min-jae, even though the South Korea squad hasn't been announced, he'll almost certainly be there.
Right.
Mario Rui with Portugal, although that's just a 55-man roster. You still expect him to be there. And Uruguay's 55-man roster has Matias Oliveira, who joined them from Getafe this past summer, and has pushed Mario Rui because Oliveira is more of a defensive option, and has actually pushed Mario Rui to become more of a midfielder, more of a creator, and sort of lean into his strengths to balance out the competition that he's feeling from Oliveira, who's a better sort of defensive fullback. But the one that I'd like to talk a little bit about is Chucky Lozano. Because is it just the case that, like, his form just coincides with the fact that everybody in Napoli is vibing and things are working there? Or are we, like, believing that he's going to transfer this into the Mexican national team as well? Because he is a key player for them. And if he's playing as well for Mexico as he is for Napoli right now, that is a huge, huge boost for Edri.
I'm actually really, really interested to see his World Cup, because I think his role at Napoli suits him so well. I think we've kind of seen him get shoehorned in previous years into roles he didn't really, really suit. But the whole team is playing with such a freedom. He looks super, super comfortable. He's doing the things he's good at. He's allowed to run down the wing. He's kind of allowed to float a bit. I don't know if he's going to have that same support and freedom for Mexico. I don't know if the setup is the same. I know the setup is not the same. What I'm really trying to say is I don't know if that tactical framework and the just freedom of the team is the same, where he will have the same ability and role to play, to be himself. So I'm interested to see it. I don't get to watch Mexico enough, and that's why it's like literally a question for me. So I am a Chucky fan. I have a lot of Mexican friends, so I like to see Mexico do well when it's not against the U.S. I want to see Mexico do well.
You're like, I'm going to specify, against the U.S. Yeah.
I love Mexico as long as they're not playing the U.S. I'm really interested to see his World Cup. I hope he does well.
I mean,
Mexico also put out one of the best kits.
Oh, for sure. Like, heads and shoulders above many. But I was just going to finish up with saying, like, Spalletti certainly isn't Gerardo Martino and vice versa. So to your point, Aaron, it will be interesting to see how they actually deploy Chucky for Mexico.
It feels like this is a good place to leave it so that we don't have to continue being too positive with Juve and Fiorentina doing as well as they have in recent rounds.
Sulk off the air. I mean,
I'd love to chat about Fiore. Maybe we'll leave that for next Thursday. Juve, we spend way too much time on them every single week, but they are a really, really compelling story. And they have been brilliant, by the way. Four straight wins. Yeah.
Can I say one negative about Napoli? Literally,
just fine. Get it out of your system.
Their only weakness is in goal. I don't trust Alex Meret at all. I don't trust him. I don't trust them. That's it. That's if we're, I'm going to find it a weakness, it's going to be in goal. There we go. I found one.
Okay, I hear you. He had a howler already this season. He had one against Empoli last season. There's and I'm going to go like stats geek now because there's a measure. Like I used to talk with Gary, former Manchester United goalkeeper. He used to work with me. I'm not going to get into the details, but we would talk about, you know, what makes it, I don't know what makes a good goalkeeper, a bad goalkeeper. Like, their goalkeeping has so many varieties of styles. Like, how do you compare someone like a Thibaut Courtois to like a Marc-Andre Ter Stegen, who have completely dramatically different ways of approaching the game? I mean, obviously both are sensational elite goalkeepers, but one thing that helped me sort of like parse this was this stat about like post shot expected goals. It's turning expected goals on its head to say, okay, this is the quality of the shots that you've faced, this is the number of goals that you could reasonably expect to concede given that quality of shots, and then how many have you given up based on that sort of benchmark. And Alex Meret has been toward the top of Serie A on that benchmark. The thing is, he does have the occasional absolute howler that makes you think, well, he's not good enough. And there's a reason that Napoli were looking, you know, to sign a top goalkeeper like a Keylor Navas or something like that over the summer transfer window. They haven't needed him. I don't know that Meret is necessarily a weakness, but I hear you that those big high-profile mistakes are a problem.
I'm just trying to find something here.
I'm
trying to keep us grounded somehow.
Yeah, we've got Aaron on the books. I've literally written this down now. Alex Meret, goalkeeper, possible weakness, along with my.
No. I heard Aaron say that he was going to cost Napoli the title.
I did too.
Let me amend the quote for further usage. But now I've put it among my Spalletti's inability to steer out of the bad with my possible weakness for the squad. So we'll see how this develops as we go forward. I think this is probably a good point to wrap. We have Napoli Udinese on Saturday with Dre and Matteo on the call. And then all Sunday, all matches starting from 6:30 a.m. through 5:30 p.m., including studio coverage between all of the games. If you want to hang out with Poppy some more, which who doesn't?
We cannot wait.
Paramount Plus. So, and again, UEFA 22.
Was that the royal
last
week?
Last week's promo. Yeah,
we cannot wait. We're so excited. All day, quadruple header, 6:30 all the way through. The first time.
So, Pops, you have what, a 4 a.m. wake up call then?
Yeah, I've got Grella's coffee with extra salt waiting for him.
Oh no.
Perfect. I can't wait. Godspeed. We will catch you all next week. Be sure to tune in for the rest of the matches this week as well as today. And we will catch you next Thursday. Ciao, Tuesday.
Ciao.
Bye guys. Ciao for now.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.